Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
That's right. You're listening to Breadline on 3CR. Hope you're having a lovely evening. You're here with Caitlin and Jessica.
Hi.
Hello. And we've got so much to talk to you about today. This is, of course, the show by unemployed people for unemployed people, presented by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. We're both AUW members ourselves, and we both live on welfare.
That's right.
Yay.
Yes. Yes, the age pension in my case.
And the disability pension in my case.
Yeah. So I suppose the worst excesses of our so-called welfare system we are saved from because we don't have to do mutual obligations.
And we were talking about it off air beforehand, but it makes such a difference to my overall experience of being on welfare, of never having had to do work for the dole because of my illness exemption and things like that. And I was lucky enough personally to get on the DSP before a lot of the requirements changed. It's a lot harder for disabled people now.
That's right.
So I'm always counting my blessings, even though it is really hard to live on the poverty line. It's like it could be harder. It's worse for other people, and that's just a terrible indictment of the system.
I mean, we've sort of made this point, I think, plenty of times on the show, that it's actually hard work living on low income. You have to do a lot of hustling around.
Yes.
And, people make the points that you always know the price of things when you're on a low income.
True.
You can go to the actual cent, the 0.99 cents, you know it all.
Yeah, you know what the number you've got in your bank account. And you also have to do constant admin. So much just mental labor, the mental load.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And, we were again talking off air about it's not welfare the way we know it, which is a form of actually social support, which we are entitled to do, we pay taxes constantly. Every time we buy a product, we are paying taxes.
Yeah, and GST.
We deserve to live a good life, even if we're on low income or older or haven't got a job or have, a whole range of health issues. So we don't need to be put through the hoops. And this system is wrong. It's rotten.
It's rotten. And we've talked about this before on the show. You're listening to Breadline on 3CR 855 AM with Caitlin and Jessica. And we often talk about how, we have a right to dignity. And to live well. And, the punishment is the point with the welfare system, the way it currently is, the way it has been for decades.
And, and remember we did that little history bit about how they used to try and make unemployed people who were eligible for some kind of payout to wear certain clothes, to wear really old, horrible army cast-offs, and they were dyed a colour, and that was a way of, again, humiliating people. But turned out that was actually an asset because people started to get together. People who
they could recognise each other.
Yeah, they could recognise each other.
That's that Margaret Atwood Handmaid's Tale quote of, if they didn't want us to be an army, they shouldn't have given us a uniform or something.
Oh, right.
Sorry for quoting that show, but that was the first thing that came to mind.
Fair enough. No, so, it's not a new thing, but I suppose what our show does deal with a lot is the sort of the detail of the iniquities and the detail, hopefully the detail of how you can survive by talking to other people, talking to people on in the union and the various other organisations who are great as well, like the Anti-Poverty Network, which are active in Adelaide and Brisbane, the Anti-Poverty Centre, who are so good at catching these new bits of information and actually spreading it out to all of us.
Yeah, and really getting in the media and making really concise, really, really
hard-hitting
points.
So moving on to our latest hot news, really, which I just got from Jay from the Anti-Poverty Centre today. Jay's been on the show before when Caitlin was running the show, actually. But the exciting news is that, as we've covered quite a bit on the shows, the government are in trouble with their so-called targeted compliance framework, which we shorten to TCF. it's been shown that it's not actually doing what the welfare system, bad as it is actually meant to do, which is actually give people some money so they can survive because of
yeah.
the multiple cutoffs, the multiple suspensions, cancellations, all based around, you know, what's some crime that you may have committed but not turning up to an appointment, which you only hear about after the appointment has actually yeah. gone.
When the letter arrives a week later.
That's yeah. right. And so as a result of this, they've been under a bit of pressure and there have been questions asked in government, in parliament, about whether they're actually operating legally. And it caused them, I suppose, a little bit of a flustered response when they were being asked these hard questions in Parliament. Anyway, result is there is now a pause of payment cancellations
all over the place. Yeah, this is breaking news.
It is.
Yeah. So can you walk me through like what that means?
Okay, so payment cancellations are the worst ones. A suspension means that you are temporarily, your payment's suspended, and then you have to do a lot of ringing around. Someone yeah. I was speaking to today, he had to spend 4.5 hours on the phone getting his payment reinstated.
God.
But cancellations are the really bad ones because potentially yeah. then you have to go through all that bureaucracy, fill out the Centrelink application form, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah. you can have huge delays on your payments.
So I feel like everyone knows, or hopefully you know how hard it is to get on welfare. Yeah. Maybe I guess not everyone knows, but if you're on welfare, you know how hard it was to get on it, especially that's something right. like the DSP. And then if you get it cancelled, you have to go through that whole process again.
Exactly.
You basically have to prove that you're eligible all yeah. over again.
So in their a slight embarrassment about how badly their targeted compliance framework system is working, they've paused a whole lot of cancellations. They've done a pause for not meeting a reconnection requirement within 4 weeks.
So you can't get your payment cancelled for not having reconnected for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure right. what reconnected means. No, does that mean attend a meeting?
It sounds a bit like gas or electricity, doesn't it?
But it does.
But it's actually a reconnection as in, you know, a response to them, to the job centres back.
Right.
So that one's been paused. So payment cancellation decisions for persistent mutual obligation failures, that's also been paused.
That's great. I mean, now, I wish it would go away
altogether.
Not temporarily, yeah. what am I trying to say? Permanently.
Yeah. And then they've paused. There's a pause of payment cancellation decisions for unemployment failures. Now, again, that's a very broad term. They're not going into details here. But again, it's to do with the suspension of people's payments.
Yeah.
And then pause of payment reduction decisions for persistent mutual obligation failures. I think that an example would be they tell you you've got to turn up. You turn up, you get into an argument with someone in a JSP, job service provider office, you walk out. That's right. it. So that would be a mark against you and that would be a mutual obligation failure. So they've paused their payment reduction decisions and that's a reduction. So this is the tightening and you get less money if you've done this, if you've failed in this situation. And
it's
then
just treating welfare recipients like criminals.
Yeah.
Constantly. I mean, criminals shouldn't be treated like this either. Like no one should be.
And then a pause of decisions under Section 42AG for work refusal failures. I mean, a work refusal failure, that's pretty obvious. That is that they've tried to get you to do a job which you are not suited for because, of course, as we know, the job service providers get a payout every time there's some kind of result of their interactions with you.
So they're not necessarily putting your best interests like in priority, they're just going to push you into any job.
That's right.
If it gets them a whatever.
Now, I suppose the interesting thing about all this, and this is all just new information we got this afternoon, is how will the job service providers respond to this? Because really their punishment angle, their stick in a way, has been taken away from them. And it may result in their payouts and their bonuses reducing because they haven't got these sticks.
And I mean, just my sort of reaction is that they're going to rely on more soft power, like emotional manipulation. They're going to bank on people not knowing that this has happened, that they don't have their stick anymore. So one of the things we try to do with this show is make sure people are more informed, basically.
That's right. Yeah. And it really is important for that this information to get out, and it will be going out through the normal channels of some of the organisations we just mentioned.
Mm.
But really, tell your friends, tell everyone that through their own incompetence, and they have had to respond, and so they brought in this pause, which, once again, as you said, Caitlin, is not good enough. They should scrap the whole thing.
I mean, mutual obligations should not be a thing that exists.
No, that's right.
Just I've talked about this on the show before, but just even the name of it, like just so cynical what they've called it, that, like, you know, that you have a that you as the welfare recipient, as the vulnerable person, have an obligation back to the government to do unpaid labor for them, or like to be coerced into labor. Like, that doesn't make what
Or turn up at a private company and help enrich their profit margin, you know, in the guise of being helped.
Yeah, I mean, disability activist in the US, Imani Barberin, talks about how disabled people are profit centers. And I often think about that when I think about, like, disabled people having to go to these disability employment service providers. And the whole thing of, like, I used to have to go to At Work Australia, and there was just a guy who was sitting there in an office, and I had to show up there. He would tick that I came, and then he gets money for that.
Yeah.
Nothing happens for me. It actually made my day worse, my week worse.
Yeah, not to having to rush there, worry about the time.
I was so ill, I couldn't get out of bed, but I had to go, otherwise they'd take my income away. So.
Yeah. Well, this info comes under the title of Assuring the Integrity of the Targeted Compliance Framework, and it's on a website under the DEWR. It's dewr.gov.au/ASS, which, interesting acronym, but anyway. So if you did want to double check all this, you want to tell your friends, neighbours, people in the organisation you're in, that's the place to check.
That's right.
But of course, we will try and make sure it goes on to the Facebook of the Unemployed Workers Union.
Yeah, and AUWU.
Yes. Keep listening to the show, because we may have other good news.
Yeah, coming up, we're going to be here till 6:30 today on at 3CR, 8:55 a.m. or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. You're here with Caitlin and Jessica on Breadline, and we are talking about the welfare system.
Yay, in total and also the detail.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
You are listening to Breadline on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. My name is Caitlin. I'm here with my co-host Jessica. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
And you just heard Thick Skin by Baker Boy from his new album, DJ and J, that just came out on Friday. Great Yolnu artist. Love that track. Amazing. Like, chills whenever I listen to it. And if you haven't seen the music video, oh man, go on YouTube. I recommend it. Thick Skin by Baker Boy. You are listening to Breadline, which is presented by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, of which we are members. And we're here talking about the welfare system and how unfair it is, and news.
That's right. And I suppose the first thing is to remind people that if they have got a specific issue, we are working towards getting the advocacy phone line up in the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, you can email advocacy@auwu.org.au and we will get back to you with a quick response.
And that's it. That'll be an AUWU volunteer speaking to you. So
that's right.
Nobody's getting, like, paid. Nobody has an agenda other than to
try and help reach you survive.
Help other welfare recipients, basically.
Yeah.
And we were talking before the song, we were talking about the targeted compliance framework, and we've done episodes of this show before about, you know, whether it's legal, the questionable legality of it. But something interesting's happened recently in the news, which is that consultancy firm Deloitte Australia, I think it's the Australia wing of it. So Deloitte basically were paid $44 million to review the targeted compliance framework and some other Centrelink functioning. And they've had to repay a portion of it because it turns out they used generative AI in parts of the report. So if you're not familiar with Gen AI, it's basically machine. It's a large language model.
That's it.
But they AI can do this thing called AI hallucinations, where if you type into it, you know, can you read all of this Centrelink information and then spit out a report? And if the AI can't figure out the answer, it'll just make stuff up. So it actually, in the report, there were like books referenced that don't exist.
That's shocking.
By authors who are real, like Australian authors. So they were just like
hallucinations.
It was pure AI hallucination. Deloitte they haven't done it yet, but they're going to have to repay a portion of what they were paid. And they're paid so much that I don't know how that'll affect them.
Probably not much, but some reputational harm, I would say.
I mean, I kind of hope so, because that's just, it's already, I mean, I already have an opinion about the fact that the government was paying that much money for a review when, I mean, you could just
we
ask.
We could have told
you
them.
You could just ask us, like. You could ask anyone who covers welfare. You could ask welfare recipients. We could tell you what's going wrong, but they don't want to hear that. They want, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get off my soapbox a little.
Yeah, no, you're allowed to be. I think that's what 3CR is about. You're allowed to be on your soapbox.
I was like, I'm getting on my soapbox on community radio, on radical radio. Like, how dare I?
Now, yeah, there's a few. We've been in the last few shows talking about the
Can I just correct myself? I said Deloitte was paid $44 million. I've just looked down at my notes. It was $440,000. So that's a bit different, but do apologize.
Okay, right. Good, we've got those figures right. So we've been talking quite a bit about the rebranding of the DES service and how it's now going to be called Inclusive Employment Australia.
I think it's more than a rebrand. I think DES got fired or defunded. Well, I'm not sure what the phrasing is, but they had to put out tenders.
It's causing a hell of a lot of confusion because there are a lot of companies which are now all sort of basically jockeying for position in that role, which is the, say, you know, basically hassle people who are on DSP or
who gets the right to hassle us.
That's right. But one just small tidbit, which people from the Anti-Poverty Centre have done a good job of pushing on, which is just that if they are going to rebrand and mess people around about who their providers will be, there is they should pause the mutual obligations, which, of course, are one of the things that you have to do at your local JSP. So they've been paused now, and Dale has mentioned it on the program before, but they've been paused now from the 16th of October, so that's this week, to the 5th of January. So a couple of months, yay.
And over the Christmas period, which I think will be helpful.
A couple of weeks, a multiple number of weeks where people don't have to do that. Funnily enough, they're still trying to pressure people to attend the JSPs. They say, some people want to work. Well,
I just had a rage blackout. Sorry.
That's happened to someone recently.
Uh-huh. Well, it's kind of like I was saying before the break, is that, you know, if they can't legally cancel our payments or take our money away, they're going to rely on soft power. They're going to rely on threat, vague threats or emotional manipulation.
Exactly. And vague sort of references to sort of like bringing the old doll bludger thing out of the 100%. Cupboard.
And if you're, I've been a disabled person going to a disability employment service provider before, which was completely, they couldn't help me at all. And they said that to my face. They went, they looked at my CV or whatever. And they said, you've got a university degree. And I said, I got sick at uni and now I'm disabled, you know. And they were like, we don't know what to do with you then. I was like, cool. Well, why am I here? Yeah. But, I forgot what I was saying because I got so mad. Sorry.
That's all right. You're allowed to get mad too.
Did I mention I'm disabled and yeah. I have brain fog?
Yeah.
But so people won't have to do that from Thursday until January.
That's right. So hooray, hooray for that. And I hope a few people get a little bit of space in their lives back for that period of time.
Yeah.
A thing which we'll cover in future programs is that they're going to have to hand out these rights guides to all people. The new Inclusive Employment Australia will have to give people rights guides. It's to do with being able to, you know, move providers and so on. Right. It's just funny because the union actually put out a rights guide. So it's funny they've stolen the name.
Wow. Did the union get any credit?
No. But we will be talking more about that in future shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so interesting. And I think that if I'm correct, there's been a bit of a gutting of the companies that are the job service providers for disability.
Some have actually folded completely, or some are only operating, say, in WA, not in eastern states, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's
going to cause a lot of disruption.
Yep.
But that is just about our time. You've been listening to Caitlin and Jessica on the Breadline Show. Thank you so much for being with us and listening.
Yes, thank you. And thanks for doing a great job of running the show, Caitlin.
Oh, my God. It's such a pleasure. Just a reminder that, you know, if you're a welfare recipient, consider reaching out to AUW. You can always contact advocacy@auw.org.au if you want any help if you're having problems with your welfare. Don't forget to stick around because Eritrean Voices is up next. I also want to mention that, we were talking about the DES transition. They have I think this is the government's transition phone line.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you that number if you are going to be transitioning from DES to inclusive employment. You can call 1-800-227-337. Next up,
Eritrean Voices.
And I'm going to play some new music from two NAR Melbourne punk acts. I've got Dull Manchild. They're back with Return of the Manchild. And then after that, we're going to hear Scud with I Heart Dirt, a new track that I'm really loving.
Yay!
Thank you so much for listening to Breadline. You're here on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.